you know, been thinking about. I did not talk to Alyssa. I did not talk to Jonathan and Kellenge. I was just praying and be like, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? But then this is what I have. I want to talk about you being God's beloved. Me being God's beloved. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God. Born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to read it again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. It is impossible to love outside of God. You cannot even love yourself. You can't love yourself if you don't love God. And sometimes it might even be easier to love other people than receive love for yourself. You know, it's like what one of our worst critics sometimes can be us. You know, you look at yourself in the mirror, you're like, you're too ugly, you're too this, you're too black, you're too white, you're too this. You know, we crucify ourselves too. But we criticize ourselves really harsh. We're very hard on ourselves. And especially if God doesn't give us the grace to stop comparing ourselves with others, we can be very hard on ourselves. And I believe Jesus said it in John. I read it last night. I actually put it on our Facebook. It was so good when I read it. I was just like, wow, Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commands. So loving God empowers you to obey God. Loving God gives you the ability to love, to obey his commandments. Let me read it again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born again. So if you can't love, question, check out if you're born again. And it doesn't stop there. Once you're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, you get to know God. There's a big difference than hearing of a person and knowing the person. Right? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you could have some preconceived idea of something, someone, and when you get to know them, and you realize, oh, what I thought was, I was wrong. Yeah, that's why it's good to be born again. You must be born again, but you must know God, because knowing God will enables you to love. And we live in a world, and before the day of the Lord returns, the love of many will grow cold. Not only for the things of God, but even for one another. You remember how people used to be naturally nice back when we were little kids? You remember your neighbors used to be cordial? People would automatically say, hi. I don't get it. I don't want to give up. But it's like, how is it that you live across from a neighbor and you say hi all the time and they never say hi? They're hurting. Kindness. Listen to what it says in John chapter 3, verse 16. What does it say? It says, for God so loved. In your Bible, underline this word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And this is a great season for this such a verse. God loves us so much, he gave. God gave it all. And I tell you, to love somebody, to really experience how to love, you must really learn how to give selflessly. I didn't grow up, when I was growing up, my dad, the only time he would touch us is when he slapped us. My dad still today never said, I love you. And I think God that I encounter Jesus, and now through the gospel, I know how to love. So it really doesn't matter how you grew up. If you really encounter the love of God, He will redeem. He will redeem. I mean, now I get to love my kids. I get to love my wife in a way I'd never learned from my earthly father. Thank God, because now he became our father. But listen to this again. God so loved, in the word, we place the word world with your name. For God so loved Ricardo. Huh? For God so loved Ricardo that he gave his only son for me. But in the context of the world, he gave Jesus. Jesus came unto us. What happened? A child is born. What do they call him? He's given. Counselor, right? Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. But listen to this, verse 17. I mean, most of the, I think we should learn John 3:17. Because we all know, most people know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gives his only son, whosoever believe will not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to this verse in verse 17. It says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through the son. So God gave a way so people could come to him. The son, Jesus, is that way. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. Now listen to this. The next verse, I love it. It says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light. Think about this. When you were part of a community, common unity of a family, or when you have issues, the first thought that comes in your mind is to remove yourself. Disconnect, disconnection. When you like the light, you want to be, I mean, you want to come to the light. But when our action is wicked, we don't want to come to the light, because our actions might be revealed. That's what it's saying here. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light. Oh Lord, pray with me. Lord, create in me a heart that loves the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Let me love the light, Lord. Let us not walk in darkness. That's what it says. The light came, but people love darkness more than the light. I pray this over me. I pray this over you. I declare it over you. May you love light. May you love light. May you love light. Live in such a way that you have nothing to lose. Live in such a way that you have nothing. Be vulnerable. Be so vulnerable. Live in a way. The person you see right here is the person you see when I walk in Ellen's house. Yes, she didn't know I was a minister. She didn't know. She encountered the plumber. But underneath the plumber's uniform is a servant. And when I went to her house, I served her. I pay attention to her. I'm thankful for the job, but at the same time, I treat her as a daughter of God. Guys, can you imagine if each of us would get a revelation how much you're loved and how much you're filled with love? And when you walk into your job site, you know, into your job area, you know, this crazy person, this kind of weird person you have that is can be a thorn in your flesh? Love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude. And this is my prayer for us, that we would be able to love the really unlovable. Because none of us here were so cute that love would give, God would give Jesus for us. None of you. No, it's not like you're so cute, God loves you so much. No! While you were still sinner, He gave it all. You were still in your mess. You're bitter, you live in the darkness. You choose darkness over the light. He still says, Father, forgive them. And I believe that's where a lot of times we, the church, we fail. I prayed this week, I said, Lord, work a miracle in my heart. Because sometimes we can be so radical to get people to come on, repent, but then we're so rude. You know, somebody could ask, what is love? Well, love is kind. Love is patient. Love is not rude. You know, even God does not demand His own way. You know, God is not, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to you and be like, you serve me. I'm going to, you know, like the voodoo spirit. I know voodoo spirit because we grew up in Haiti, right? Oguferai, some of you guys who grew up in Haiti. There's one spirit, evil spirit, they call him Oguferai. You know what Oguferai does? Oguferai come and possess somebody. So Oguferai would speak in the family. They say they choose this person in the family to serve. So Oguferai says, you better serve or I'm going to kill you. Uh-huh. And then Oguferai came. There's one guy. Give you a story. So Oguferai says, I choose so-and-so in the family and he's going to serve me. So they build a voodoo temple. The voodoo temple, like a little section in the house with chairs, dolls, like Halloween decoration. That's what it looks like, with dolls, whatever. And then Oguferai, that evil spirit, would come and manifest itself. And then the person they choose would make a request. So the evil spirit would ask, what do you want? You know, some people are like, you know, I want to be rich. I want to have a lot of stuff. There's this one guy. He asked for a lot of money. And the devil gave money. I don't know how it does it, but he gives him a lot of money. But there's always one condition. Satan gives nothing for free. God, Jesus, the Son of God, give life. Not enough life for yourself, abundant life. God, life not only for yourself, but enough life, love, light, so you can walk in life, in love, in light. Plenty for yourself, but enough to be able to give others. That's what it is. You know, and then when Oguferai had this conversation with the guy, he's like, okay. Oguferai's like, I give you money, but then this is the condition. You can only eat cassava for the rest of your life. Dry bread. That's what the devil does. So here this guy is chosen by Satan. And Satan promised him lots of money. He gives him lots of money. And then he said, all right. Are you happy with your money? Okay. Yes. Oh, man. Beautiful stuff. Yeah. So many stuff. Much stuff. And it's like, okay, hang on. Remember the condition. You can only eat dry cassava, dry bread made with cassava. Not flour, just cassava. You can't add sugar. You can't have coffee. You can't have steak. You can't have lobster. You can't have, you know, good steak. You can't have none of that stuff. And Satan says, the day you touch anything else, you put anything else in your mouth, I kill you. So who in their right mind would choose to serve the devil? But we know people choose the devil. And they say, what is love? God is love. Love does not never demand its own way. Even with us today, God is giving us a choice. God is not forcing you to follow Him. You have a choice. Do you want to follow? Today, I said before you, life, death, light, darkness, love, hate, unforgiveness, forgiveness. What do you choose? As for me, I say, God, I choose love. I've got many situations. Maybe you have a situation. You're like, Lord, I can't do it. But then that's when we have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit empowers you. We cannot do it without the Holy Spirit, guys. You can't. Stop trying without the Holy Spirit. When I can't do it, I go to the Holy Spirit. I turn everything off. I said, God, we must have an encounter. Because right now, I'm stuck. I can't move forward until you do a miracle in my heart. And you know what he does? The Bible says, those who earnestly seek him, they found him. Guys, the gospel is real. And the Lord is saying, you are my beloved. You know, and when you study this verse in John chapter 3, the word love, we all could assume from the Greek, it's agapeo, which is agape. Kellen's already touched about that. You know, what is agape? Agape love is love unconditional. I mean, the Bible is full of verses to show us, even in the Old Testament. We talked a couple months ago about God's wrath, God's judgment. Remember, it is God's love that leads people to repentance, not his judgment. God's not judging anyone right now. Judgment is coming. When someone is suffering for their choice, bad things, you know, life happens. The Lord is not judging anybody. You remember there's a story in the Bible. This guy was sick and the disciple went to Jesus like, Lord, why is this guy sick? Is it because of his parents' sin or because of his sin? And then of course the Lord says, no, none of that. Let me show you how God can love. What is love? God is love. God is patient. He's kind. He's not arrogant. And look in your life, when you encounter a believer and you realize they're arrogant. Now you can be confident. You can be confident. I remember after we got married, I don't know if I told you this story, after we got married, Kendra would be like, you look good, you look nice, you know, you look nice. And I'd be like, yes, I know. So cocky and arrogant. And unwise. I was young, okay, guys? Just married. My wife, beautiful wife, would be like, honey, you look good. It's like, yeah, I know. So dumb. You know? Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, I look in the mirror. I know. Just not humble. And then years goes by, she never say it. And I'm like, wow. She never tells me I look good. So then by that time, I'm like, okay, I'm a little more humble. I get it. The light came on. And I'm like, well, honey, you never tell me I look good. She's like, well, you know. You know? And I tell you this to say, love is humble. And Apostle Paul, I love him. He's our big brother. He says, I count everything as worthless to gain Christ. You know, he said, he told the Corinthians, when I came before you, I didn't come with great eloquent words to show you that I know this, I know that. I have a doctorate in this. I have a master in that. I came, the only thing I want to acknowledge is Jesus can redeem. That's it. At the end of the day, yeah, if you can go for a master, go for it. If you have the brain to go for a doctorate, hallelujah. But you know, God doesn't require all those things. He requires an obedient heart. God is love. And he wants us to love him back. He wants us to love him back. Because there are great joy in loving God back. Listen to what it says in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. But they and our fathers acted presumptuously and stiffened their neck and did not obey your commands. They refused to obey and were not mindful of your of the wonders that you perform among them. But they stiffed their neck and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God ready to forgive, gracious, merciful, slow to anger. See God like this. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. You know, mercy is unmerited favor. He doesn't treat us the way we deserve. He's abounding in steadfast, unwavering love. God will never forsake us. I love Psalm 103. Let's read it. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Yesterday I prayed, I'm like, okay, forget not all of God's benefits. You know, when you live your life in a gratitude state of mind, it just keeps you healthy. You know, because even right now, if you're thinking, you know, and we talk about some of the things, some of the roots, common roots that cause people to doubt God's love is skepticism. Some people skepticism, right? Is that how you say it? Skepticism. Cynicism. Is that how do you say it? Cynicism. Yep. Skepticism, cynicism. Those are not words you use every day, you know? But we know what it means, right? It's like people, instead of seeing the glass half full, they see it half empty. I say, Lord, remove from me every spirit of skepticism, cynicism. Instead of seeing the ugly part of someone, give them grace. Give them grace. Because that's what God's doing to us. He's giving us grace. Give them grace. That would free you. Then you don't have to carry their burden. Then I can intercede for them. I can say, Lord, what you've done to my heart, do it to their heart. Do it in their lives. And that's what it says here, Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits." Think about all of God's benefits in your life. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, Kendra is one of God's benefits in my life. Yeah, she is. And I'm thinking, you guys are one of God's benefits in my life. You are. Yeah, because I don't have to do life by myself. And if you could only do the same thing, look around you, look around your church, be like, wow, I belong. Beloved, you belong. You know that an orphan spirit will destroy someone's life. Satan is an orphan. So from the beginning until now. I mean, there's nothing like a child seeing a child. You remember the story? I mean, maybe I have to preach this for a couple more weeks because there's so much in this. You are my beloved. The prodigal son. What was he missing in father's house? Nothing. But yet he thought, you know what? I just want to be independent. You dummy? He's a dummy. Because he's got the dad's car. He's got dad's heart. He's got everything. But he's like, I want my inheritance. Meaning, dad, I wish you were dead so I could have my part. So the dad so graciously say, all right, there it is, son. You know, the rest of the story. Went in the world, spent it, thank God. Somehow he came to his senses. And came home. But you guys know the heart of the father. He was looking every day for the return of that son. There's so much in that lesson. You know, verse 3 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then verse 3 says, "Who forgive all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." to satisfy you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses. And I say, Lord, make your way known to me, to you. His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He will not. Come on, guys. Listen to this. He does not deal with us according to what we deserve. Now, when you understand God's nature, you will realize his love enables you to say no to ungodliness. See, now we're not telling you, oh, God is so love you, go and live your life. Take his love. Do not take his grace and his love for granted. Because one day, the day is coming. You know, and we don't want to waste God's grace. Let's not waste his grace. He's pouring grace into our lives. And I tell you, one of the ways you mustn't waste his grace is by returning grace to others. Give others grace. You know, I always tell you guys stories because I have stories. So the other day, I have a couple of my brothers. They watch our service. But I have a couple of sisters. They don't watch because they're not following the Lord. So the other day, me and my three brothers, we had a meeting. Because beautiful morning, you know, that beautiful day we had, it was warm, nice. The Lord blessed us with a nice day. It was just like, yeah. I received this text message, this voicemail that's like 10 minutes long. It's one of my sisters just chewing us up. I mean, guys, it was just like, how is it possible? I mean, I know because she needs the Lord and she hates her father. Hurt people always will hurt others. And she's just miserable. And it's something, she had a point. What she wanted to talk about, she had a point. But she's just so mean. She didn't know any other way to make her request known but to disrespect all of us. And to be so rude, forceful. So here we are, us brothers. I mean, everybody was like, we're just going to ignore her, you know. I mean, some of them really despise her, don't talk to her, but what am I supposed to do? Be like that? I can't. Should I ignore her message? No. And in the midst of this, and I'm listening, I'm reading this, I'm preparing my heart. I'm just, Lord, I'm your beloved. I'm called to spread love. And this girl here, she's very unlovable. Very unlovable. And I know among us siblings, I'm probably the only one that showed her lots of grace. Sometimes I can't anymore. But I'm like, Lord, I need this tank to be full because her grace, my tank grace for her is empty. My love tank is empty, Lord. I can't disown her. She's my sister. And even today, if she calls, she needs help, I will help her. Do I want to? Oh, no, I don't want to. But what is my task? I'm God's beloved. I don't ever have to tell her God loves her. I can love her in her mess. Not tolerate her, because her request, none of us is going to. We're not going to do anything about her request. So I responded to her. I was like, you know what, sister? I say, darling, I actually said darling, beloved. You know, beloved says darling. Because I'm doing the research on the word beloved. Beloved, darling. So if I call you darling, please, don't think I'm trying to be weird. It means beloved. Okay? I'll try not to say that, you know, but beloved, beloved brothers, beloved sister. You know, so then, you know, I text her. I said, hey, beloved sister, you have a good point. But if I may, humbly, if I may, this is what I would suggest. Just say, hey, guys, you know, this is the issue I have with mom. You know, she's with me and, you know, just I need to talk to you guys. And all of us brothers, we like, if we get a message like this right away, we would call her. We would, whoever can would drive up there. You know, I mean, we all would be, but it's like, why do you have to talk like that? And I sent a message just like I told you. And then she sent me another. And then that evening, me and my other brothers, we were just having, it sounds like, I'm praying for her. So you might have somebody like that in your life. It could even be your kids. Where they're accusing you of things. It happened to me in my life. You know, they're accusing you of not being a good father, not being there. The only thing you could do, stop defending yourself. I've learned this. You know, it's like, well, Dad, you were always busy in the ministry. You were always gone. I felt like you were my pastor more than my dad. You know, I'm like, well, stop defending yourself. Just shut up, listen, and be like, please forgive me. I missed it. Because what they're saying right now is valid. Just acknowledge they're hurting instead of trying to make excuses. That's where I've learned. That's where a lot of time we fail. You know, it's like, I was trying to protect you. When I slapped you, I know you were going to be stupid. I just did it to protect you. No, at the time, you were wrong. You shouldn't slap them. God is love. And this is Psalm 103. And I'm not even done from the Psalm. I just cut it a little bit. It says, verse 9 says, he will not always, no, verse 10 says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Thank God. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Now, take note. In this verse, the last three words says, those who fear him. The fear of the Lord is to love what loves love, is to despise what he despises. When you love God, you respect God. You fear God. You know, we know God loves us unconditionally. From all the disciples, we know John is the one who was called beloved. I went to a funeral one time, and I heard some of the children, grandchildren, giving testimony of the grandfather that passed away. That got stuck with me. And they were all saying how they were grandfather's favorite. And they were all so genuinely saying, there's no way you were there's no way you were the favorite. I am the favorite. And then the other's like, what are you talking about? I'm the favorite. That's the revelation. I am God's favorite. And I can tell you are his favorite. And I can tell you better know that you are his favorite. My brothers and sisters, God doesn't love me more than he loves you. The only amount of encounter we have with God's love is how we surrender. See, the more you surrender to God's love, the more free you become. Not only to encounter it, but to share it. Share it with your unlovable ones. Share it in the body of Christ. See, God called me to serve you, not to rule over you. God called me to love you, and I will love you no matter what, no matter where you are, no matter what you do, because that's the example he gives us. Are you Father's favorite? Let's try that again. Are you Father's favorite? I don't think we hear such message, because I know sometimes we want the fire of God to fall. We want, you know, we want to shake the house, you know, fire, yes. But yet, my beloved, you have no idea how much love can change the world. And the gospel is the only hope. The gospel is the only hope. Now, God, because he loves you, he will not tolerate you. You see the balance? He gives you the choice to choose. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says one, oh my goodness. Let me ask this first. How many of you find it hard to receive love? Let me see your hands. Yeah. I mean, think about it. You find it difficult to receive love. But let me rephrase the question. How many of you, it's a lot easier to give than receive? Yeah. Me too. Because sometimes you think, I don't want to be a burden. Please, repent. Allow others to love you. Allow others to serve you. Allow your family to serve you. Allow your church family to serve you. And when you serve them, remember, serve them with love. I love 1 John. The beloved disciple wrote it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "In this is love, that not we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." That's why we celebrate Christmas. Jesus came to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love others, one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Meaning, the only way other people will encounter God is when they encounter you. At Walmart, the only way people will encounter God is how they encounter you. In your job, your neighbor, the only way they will encounter God's love, God's grace. One of the best ways. Because God's love leads people to repentance. Verse 13, "By this we know that we abide in Christ. He is in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God." Meaning, I said it here, you cannot pretend you love God and treat people like garbage. Be nice. Be kind. Tender-hearted. Loving one another. Don't be a hypocrite. If I hurt you, come talk to me. Don't divorce me. That hurts me. I hate divorce. You know, people just drop you dead. You're like, well, what happened to our friendship? All of a sudden, what? It's like, I thought I was a blessing. And you know those people. Oh, Pastor, you're such a blessing in my life. Hallelujah. I'm like, brother, you're a blessing in my life. And all of a sudden, you're not a blessing anymore? What's happened? Let's talk about that. Let's fix. Why am I not a blessing anymore? No. To be unclear is to be unkind. Love is kind. Verse 17, by this is love. By this love perfected within us, with us, so that we may have confidence for that day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in this world. go spend some time in 1 John. So as God is, that's how we are in this world. Guys, God's not going to send angels down from heaven to walk this earth. We are. That's why the Bible calls us ambassadors. We're representing God here in our neighborhood. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. If anyone says, I love God, but I just don't want to talk to them, I'll never talk to my mom again. I'll never talk to my sister again. You're lying. There's no way. I'm done. If anyone, verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, maybe hate is a strong word. I didn't have time to go and see what the Greek word for hate here. But I just thought about it. I bet you there's a lot more into this word, hate. If anyone says, I love God, but harbor bitterness, be rude, you liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, he can see. How can he say he loves God whom he can't see? And this is the commandment. And we found in him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Abiding in the love of God frees us from all insecurity. Remember I told you, after I got married, Kendra says, you look good, baby. And I said, yes, I know. I'd had to learn God's love because I'm not confident. The more I grow in the love of God, I realize I have nothing but the Lord. I don't look good. I don't speak good. I don't get it. I'm humbled. Let's say, Lord, oh, Jesus. Oh, I was talking to a brother this week. He's like, man, why don't you do a podcast? You know, everybody wants to talk. And the more I speak, the more I spend time with the Lord, I'm like, the more I'm afraid to talk. Everyone will be judged for what they say. So I beg God for mercy and grace every time I get a chance to stand in front of you to speak his word. I said, Lord, don't let me speak anything I must not. Do not let me operate in the fear of men. God, use me fearlessly, but allow me to share your compassion in your heart. I don't want these people to hear from me. I can't change you. But when he speaks deep within your soul, you will change. So abiding in the love of God frees me, will free you from insecurity. You know, insecurity is a terrible thing. We men, we deal with insecurity. How many times we compare ourselves with others? You know, we compare with what we have, where we live. You know, our house is too small, too big, you know, whatever. We that's insecurity. Contentment is part of holiness. Being content. Of course you work hard for what you have. Let me read that again. Abiding in God's love free you from all insecurity. It leads us into a joyful and worship. It leads us into a joyful and worshipful obedience to God. I read this. And then I said, I take my joy back, devil. I take my peace back. Whatever he's stealing from you, I take my joy back. Because, listen to this, when I abide in God's love, it frees me from competing. Why? You know what? I just know who I am in Christ, not in things I've done. Because then I don't have to compare myself to other preachers. I'm not afraid. We do this. Thank God for our team back there. We do this. We put this online so people, you guys who watch online, you could be loved, be ministered to by the word of God. But I have nothing to compare myself with. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming for a ready bride. God created Adam and Eve, and why he created Adam and Eve? He created them for love. And I'm going to enumerate a couple of these things, and then I'll come back to this with this message, because I feel like I have a lot more to share with you. Common roots of doubting God's love. One of them is past experiences. You know, people burned you. You know, when you've encountered, especially in the church, I have friends, they're not going to church. They haven't gone to church because of how church people treat them. Guys, God give us no one as an example but Christ. So people will fail you. When people fail you, don't be like, you know, I'm leaving the church. I mean, I read somewhere, I can't remember where. It says, you know, when you go to hospitals, doctors, they fail us. Don't we go back? We go back. We just choose a different doctor. Or sometimes we go to the same hospital. Or maybe now you're more aware of, or you do your research. And that's why we must be like the Berean Christians. Know the word. Don't take my word for it. Go and read 1 John. Spend time in the Bible. Feed your spirit, man. Feed your spirit. Don't pretend. Don't assume that this 130 minutes, me encouraging you in the word of God, will be enough to sustain you out there. It won't be enough. You must feed your spirit, man, or you'll dry up. You gotta eat. You gotta eat the word. You gotta feed your spirit. Then you'll live in revival, like me. If you know the things I deal with, leading a church, you know, 15,000 churches closed in America this year. About 100,000 church leaders quit this year. 15,000 churches. I went in and looked into it. It's not like stat you just find on Google. And I know some people. Just like, I'm done. I don't want to do it. Can't do it. In the last days, the love of many will grow cold. People will call light dark. They'll call tree dogs. That's how crazy the last days will get. Immerse yourself in the word of God. Immerse yourself, beloved. Beloved, because when you do, God will heal you from your past hurt, past experience. I'll come back next week. How about that? Let's pray this again. I'll ask Ryan, come pray this with me again. That's how much God loves you. Just receive God's love in this season of Christmas and spread it. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you talk to your father right now? Maybe some of the things I've shared you can really identify with. Maybe you have somebody, a beautiful sister like I have, that's just being a thorn. Maybe it's your daughter, it's your son, it's your neighbor. Maybe you've been struggling with the mind, with the idea that God can be, his love can be steadfast. You know, as you sit down and, you know, be to get in your heart. Go deep in your soul. Would you talk to the Lord? Maybe ask him, say, Lord, help me. That's what I prayed this week. I said, Father, help me. Even right now, Lord, we pray. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us in areas that we feel like we really can't do it. We can't love apart from you, Jesus. Work a miracle in our hearts this morning. I die for you. I'd do it all again if I had to. Show you what you really mean to me. This is God speaking to you. Say that again. I'd die for you. I'd do it all again if I had to. To show you what you really mean to me. I cried for you. I hung on the cross so you wouldn't have to. I made a way to set the spirit free. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you. I give up my whole life that you might live. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you to see. You are my child and you mean so much to me. I give you stars, the sun, the moon, yes, I went that far. So no matter where you go, you think of me. The mountains fail, the beautiful oceans are there to remind you that I can satisfy your every need. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you. I give up my whole life that you might live. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you to see. You are my child and you mean so much to me. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want you to see. You are my child and you mean so much to me. Thank you, Lord. I am your beloved and you are mine. Thank you, Lord, that you take delight. I love you. That's how much I want you to see. You are my child and you mean so much to me. Father, we thank you that we mean so much to you. I mean so much to you, Lord. Wow, that's so empowering. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the season of Christmas. That not only we get to share our money, our gift, our smiles, but the most precious gift of all, the light that you came to bring this world. Lord, as we enter this week celebrating your coming, coming together for Christmas Eve, as we go forth from here, Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. We love you back. We love you, Jesus. You're so good. I invite you to stand. Now I pronounce a blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May His face shine upon you. Shine upon you. May He give you peace. May you experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. In Jesus' name, and God's beloved says, amen, amen. Be blessed, guys. We'll see you soon.